Joint Ways and Means Committee on Friday, the 11th of May. We've got senators, we've got a floor session coming up quickly, so let's move through our agenda as quickly as we can, giving people an opportunity to weigh in. First item on the agenda is Senate Bill 5529, Oregon Health and Science University. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5529 provides general fund support to the Oregon Health Sciences University and authorizes tobacco master settlement funds to pay debt service on state bonds that were issued to the Oregon Health Sciences University Oregon Opportunity Program. Senate Bill 5529 appropriates $86.6 million of general fund to OHSU, an 18% increase over the current biennium level. This increase will allow the university to maintain existing program levels at the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center, the Oregon Poison Center, the School for Dentistry, and the Office of Rural Health, and allow it to both maintain current programs and implement large program expansions at the School of Medicine, the School of Nursing, and in the AHEC program. Oregon's need for health care professionals will grow as the state's population ages and as large numbers of baby boomers currently working in these fields retire. The bill will fund expansions in a number of OHSU degree programs to address both current and projected shortages in the health care workforce. It includes $4.6 million general fund to increase the number of Bachelor of Science nursing degrees from OHSU awards each year by 162, a 70% increase over OHSU's current capacity. This increase will be accompanied by expanding enrollment at the university's four nursing program sites, by establishing a fifth site at the campus of the Western Oregon University, and by expanding OHSU nursing programs to community college campuses. $1 million general fund is also provided for a 20-student per year expansion of the master's nursing program, thereby increasing OHSU's capacity to educate nursing program instructors. The bill also includes $4.12 million of general fund to support expanding the MD degree program to 120 students per class. The university will use these one-time funds to meet costs of the expanded program in 2007-2009. After this, the university will be able to support the program expansion from tuition revenues and without further state support. Finally, the bill enhances AHEC program funding by $1,233,000 general fund. This will allow the university support to a statewide education director and regional education directors at the AHEC sites. The primary outcome of these investments will be to allow OHSU to place students in rural area rotations even at the expanded program cohorts. Sites, I believe that they meant to say. The funds also will allow OHSU to upgrade its video conferencing and online education programs. The subcommittee reviewed and approved agency performance measures and concurred with the recommendation of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to reduce the number of key performance measures and direct OHSU to report a number of metrics, but not as key performance measures. The subcommittee noted the performance outcome expected from the approved funding level and adjusted performance measure targets accordingly. OHSU will use the funding increases in this bill to expand capacity in a number of academic programs that are critical to the state. Your Education Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5529 be amended by the -1 amendments and the reported out do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gorley.
Thank you very much and good morning.
Good morning.
To my colleague, did the committee engage in questions about the affirmative action performance of OHSU on the record?
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Gorley, I believe only very lightly in one discussion. To be honest, our discussions were so heated about some of the things we funded and did not fund in the budget that we did not spend a great deal of time on that, and I apologize for that.
Okay, thank you. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. As
Senator Devlin has stated we did have a very robust discussion around this budget in the subcommittee. I think it was actually one of the best discussions we've had to date in the subcommittee. And I just like to bring out a couple of things that were discussed quite greatly. First of all, I'd like to commend the subcommittee chair. I think Rep. Galizio did an excellent job on this one, and I really appreciate him reaching out to all the members of the committee for input on the budget. And as a result of that, the committee made the decision to move some of the money out of the School of Medicine and put it to restore some of the AHEC programs, which were actually the university's number one funding priority. And I think that those are things to be commended. I think also the investment in the School of Nursing that the co-chairs made is to be commended, that will have a very good lasting impact on healthcare delivery in the state. But there are a couple of exceptions that I take here. Given that we have had a lot of discussion in this building about increasing access to healthcare with the Healthy Kids Initiative and with all the discussion around universal access to the healthcare system, the need to get more trained practitioners out into the field is a huge one in the state of Oregon. And it is very sad to me that the $7 million enhancement to the School of Medicine wasn't funded. I appreciate that the co-chairs have increased the training capacity for doctors from 108 to 120, so that'll put 12 new doctors into the rotation each year. But an additional $7 million invested in this area would have put 40 more physicians into the graduating class every year. And that would have, I think, on an ongoing basis, had a really positive impact for all the people in the state of Oregon. And interestingly enough, it would have actually lowered the cost per doctor of training those folks. This was a very innovative program that OHSU brought to the legislature. And I think that it is not a good policy decision not to invest the $7 million in this program and increase the training of doctors in that area. I think that another shortcoming of the budget is a $300,000 investment in the School of Dentistry that would have allowed dental students to go out into the real world and have a rotation in dentist offices around the state, and then there would have been potential there for an increase in the number of dentists that would be trained because it would free up capacity at OHSU. So though I do appreciate very much the investments that have been made in this budget, I voted no in the subcommittee because of the reasons that I just stated, and I'll be a no vote also today.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be voting for this today. I think it's a step in the right direction, but I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask the carrier, if I could, real quickly. Just as we fail to see the intense shortage of nurses that we have now to face and we're trying to respond to, there is good evidence that we're going to have the same problem with physicians about 5 to 10 years from now. And the steps forward here to start increasing the size of the medical school, I think, is a very good step forward, one we might completely endorse and want to see continued. Was there a discussion, however, in committee about the difficulty of retaining physicians in Oregon? The last time I had a chance to check this, which was 3 or 4 years ago, we were only retaining about 50% of our medical school graduates in the state. The other 50% were leaving the state. And there's other issues involved in this as people finish residencies. Oregon is not seen as a state right now for many reasons that it's friendly for physicians to practice in. There's medical malpractice problems. There's low reimbursement for Medicare and Medicaid in the state, lower than other states, so it's somewhat difficult to keep and retain people. In our particular area right now, we're looking for medical school graduates as our primary source for bringing in primary care physicians. Grants Pass just recruited two people from Caribbean schools. We're bringing people from South Africa. So it's a real problem, not only not having enough people from a medical school, so this is step four from that point. But was there a discussion about other things down the line we need to do, not just beef up our medical school class?
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Bates, there was some discussion. I believe it. Some of the discussion centered on maybe the issues that were focused on the School of Medicine, not focused on the factors that might impact whether a physician wanted to practice in the state. I think there was fairly extensive discussion about what made a difference, how many of the students in the School of Medicine actually came from the state of Oregon. And quite frankly, I think that's one of the reasons, rather than increase the tuition support to increase the percentage, which we found out wasn't really much of an increase because we already have about 70% Oregon students, but rather than using about a little bit more than a million to make it at 75, we chose to move most of those funds, which we chose to move all those funds to AHEC. We did actually discuss the issue, though, that's kind of associated is, does it make a difference where they go to school or where they have their residency? And to be quite honest, there's not as much expertise on the committee, although I'm not speaking for all the members of the committee. There's not the level of exposure to the environment in the medical field that you might have, Senator Bates. But that was, I think, the core of our discussion.
I appreciate that, Madam Chair, and appreciate the carrier's answer. I just like to put on the record that this is a good step forward. We need to do it, but we need to take the next step, which is retaining those people we're training. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Morse.
Thank you. Just as a follow-up in addition to the previous comments, before I make the other comment I'd like to make, what we did learn in the committee is that when physicians go through their rotations in rural communities, mm-hmm. that's your best chance of retaining a physician in rural practice as opposed to just recruiting cold. So I think there is a correlation between expanding these regionalization concepts for medicine and supplying physicians to rural Oregon. So I think there is a very close correlation. But the comment I wanted to make, and make sure that it's not lost on the committee, is the this issue of $7 million for this regionalization of medical school regionalization. In visiting with Dr. Robertson, his comment was there are many schools, medical schools, in the United States that their entering cohorts are only 60. And if this would have been the equivalent of nearly creating a medical school, the equivalent of creating a medical school for $7 million by adding this additional students, 40 to this entering cohort. That's unprecedented. He commented also that there are schools around the nation that have expressed interest, and the question was raised, how in the world can you pull this off? It was with the assumption that we were going to do it. I hope that before this day is done in this session that we will find a way to do this, because utilizing the assets of the University of Oregon, Oregon State University, Sacred Heart Hospital, and Samaritan Health Services, you wind up creating, in effect, another medical school for $7 million. So, Madam Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to at least put in context the struggle we had within our committee in walking over this opportunity.
Thank you, Senator. Mm. Final comment, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I must echo at least a little bit of what my colleagues, Representative Morgan and Senator Morris, have said. I must also admit a certain amount of perhaps conflict of interest in this particular area in light of my family being deeply embedded into the medical and dental community in the state of Oregon. And I think the one thing on this that really probably bothered me the most was the opportunity to train ultimately more dentists for $300,000. I really did feel that is rounding money, and that the amount that we would have gained from that would have been really very significant. And I'm hopeful as we go down further and we get a Santa Claus, somewhere around the 15th of this month, or and have a whole bunch of more money dumped into the pile, that this might be one of the items that we would consider if we happen to wind up with a $200,000-$300,000 more than we knew we had somewhere along the way.
You can put that on the list, but the list is growing.
Well, I appreciate that, Madam Chair, and I appreciate, and I've expressed a certain amount of bias on my part in relationship to that. I voted no in committee, and will vote no here too on that. Thank you.
Okay. Chair of the Sub.
Yeah, since the chair, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Since the chair has assigned himself to carry this to the full, I don't need an answer now, but wondering from LFO to whom I must assign the next bill that I wish to carry to actually carry the bill.
We're done. Senator, we have to get you all to the floor, and we've got to get to our floor.
Okay.
Next time. Any objections?
Yes.
Senator Gordley. Representative Morgan. Representative Hanna. Representative Jensen. Motion carries. House Bill 2186, set off of liquidated debts. Representative Nathanson, please.
That sounds real exciting, doesn't it?
It does.
House Bill 2186 allows the Department of Human Services to offset payments or refunds to providers or clients against liquidated debts they owe to the agency. Liquidated debts are those debts where DHS has sent a billing, the provider or client has not paid, and all appeal rights have expired. In some cases, DHS can use uncashed payment checks to offset liquidated debts, but the current law requires DHS to cancel the checks, refer the funds to the Department of State Lands, and ask that the Department of State Lands return the funds to be applied to the debt. If DHS owes a program provider or client in one DHS program a payment, but the provider or client has outstanding liquidated debts in another DHS program, DHS must now issue a garnishment to the DHS program. Yes, you heard that right. DHS garnishes itself to the DHS program area, issuing the current payment before collecting the funds. These processes are time-consuming and inefficient, and you may have other adjectives you wish to apply. This bill will allow DHS to simplify both those processes. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2186 be reported out due pass.
Excellent. Representative, any discussion? Ooh, you got everybody. Any objections? Motion carries. Other business. Criminal Justice Commission. Representative Shields, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approving the submission of a retroactive federal grant application by the Criminal Justice Commission and the Oregon State Police. The agencies are applying for a one-year grant for up to $200,000 to assist in evaluating the effectiveness of drug courts in Oregon. The grant funds will be used for a statewide outcome and cost-benefit evaluation of adult drug courts for nonviolent offenders. The evaluation would center on the grants awarded by the Commission through the Drug Court Grant Program, passed as part of the meth package by the 2005 legislature. This evaluation differs from past evaluations, which have been directed at individual drug courts. This grant, if awarded, will be used to examine the impact and success of drug courts statewide. Existing staff and costs will be used to provide the state match. The Commission became aware of the grant in January and notified the co-chairs of their intent to apply at least 10 days before they sent in the formal application. After reviewing the grant guidelines, it was determined that the State Police Criminal Justice Services Division was the more appropriate entity to make the formal application. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. And just a heads up, colleagues, given that floor sessions on both sides of the building are getting more frequent and lengthy, we are going to need to be a little flexible in scheduling full committee, because we might need to be doing shorter full committee meetings in order to fit in that schedule. So be advised that there will probably be weeks where we schedule two shorter meetings of the full committee instead of one on Friday. We'll keep you notified, and we'll give the appropriate notice to your offices, and we'll see you soon. Thanks. We're adjourned.